Welcome back to the Clear Admit MBA Admissions Podcast. I'm your host, Graham Richmond, and today I am joined by a very special outside guest to the podcast, and her name is Kara Keenan-Sweeney. And Kara is the Director of Admissions, Marketing, and Communications at the Lauder Institute over at Wharton. So welcome to the show, Kara. It's a pleasure to have you today.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here with you.
So what we're going to do today, and you know, as we often do with outside guests, is I have a whole bunch of questions that I wanted to ask Kara about Lauder, which I think many of our users probably have a fairly limited exposure to. It's a special program out of Wharton, and I'm going to let Kara really explain it. But I thought we could start by first diving in and just having you tell us a little bit about your background and how you ended up working at UPenn within the Wharton Lauder program.
Yes, great. Thanks again. So I have been working in higher education administration for about 15 years. I started my career at Columbia University. I spent about 5 years there at Columbia Business School working primarily with our executive MBA candidates in marketing and admissions. Then I transitioned over to INSEAD. Actually, I worked for their MBA program in Singapore, which was an awesome experience. I spent some time working for them. And then I've been here at Lauder since 2015, so just about 4 years. I actually grew up in the Philadelphia area, so being here close to home at the Wharton School and at the Lauder Institute is a great way for me to sort of combine my interest and love for international studies, international affairs, with also my background in business school administration. So working at Lauder has really been a blessing and a great experience so far.
Oh, that's really interesting. I'm sure that folks were happy to have you kind of come on board, given that you'd been, over at INSEAD and Columbia, which are schools that, Wharton competes with, but also there's a lot of similarities and a lot of great, obviously INSEAD being incredibly international must be have been a really useful experience for you.
Yeah, absolutely. And much of the candidates who actually come to Lauder are quite similar to candidates who are looking at INSEAD. So it's great to be able to sort of guide people and what the differences are between the programs and having that experience working internationally. I know what it's like for our candidates who are sort of quite global in their background. So it's great to have that experience.
Got it. Okay, so before we go any further, I would love to hear from you a description of the Lauder Institute and how it fits in. I think, it'd just be great to understand, to the average MBA candidate, what is Lauder and how does it fit into Wharton's MBA program?
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I think there is sort of a need to increase the awareness around the Lauder program. I think a lot of folks have heard of it, but maybe they're not quite sure exactly what the program is all about. So the Lauder program was founded in 1985 by the family of Estee Lauder. Some of the Lauder family have graduated from the Wharton School over the years, and they really wanted to put together a program that would allow for students who are interested in global studies to sort of marry that with their MBA experience. So the Lauder program offers a Master of Arts degree in International Studies, and we have the joint degree program with the Wharton School. Most of our students are getting their MBA, and we also have a joint degree program with the law school here at Penn. So we have a handful of students each year who are getting their JD MA from Lauder. The program is really designed to give applicants, candidates, students the sort of the context for them to do business globally. So at Lauder, we don't we don't do finance. We really give students a background in culture, history, economics, the political situation in a given part of the world. The degree in the end is actually earned by the Penn's Graduate School of Arts and Sciences. So it's a joint degree. It's a fully joint degree program. We don't offer a standalone degree. So we only offer a degree jointly with Wharton or with Penn Law. And students who come to Lauder, they have the opportunity to focus on one of our six programs of concentration. So students, when they actually apply to the program, they indicate their primary area of interest. So we have 5 regional programs. So we have a program on Africa, Asia, Latin America, Europe, and then our last regional program is focused on South Asia, the Middle East, and North Africa. And within those 5 regional programs, students also study a language. So again, sort of giving students the regional context of a business in that specific region, and then also giving them the linguistic skills they need to actually do business in Latin America and Spanish, for example. So language at Lauder, we have 10 language programs within our regional programs of concentration. And language at Lauder is taught such that students are really able to use language at a practical level in business. So if you're giving a pitch to a board or doing real business in Mandarin or Portuguese or French, you really have the business language skills in order to do that. After you graduate and while you're here in the program. We also have a global program for students who are already multilingual. One thing I want to mention for those who are listening is that in order to apply to Lauder, students must test at least at the advanced low level on something called the OPI, which is an oral proficiency interview. It's a 30-minute phone conversation. For those applicants who are interested, there's a lot of information on our website. So students who come to Lauder have to test at this advanced low level. And as they come through Lauder and they go through the program, they ultimately have the goal of getting to the superior or the fluent level. So that's a component of our regional programs. Our global program has no language component because students who apply to our global track have to test at the superior level in any language other than English in order to apply. So that's part of the metrics we use in the application process.
So I think, you know, one of the things that I'm curious about is many kind of joint degree programs that exist sort of add a year or something to your existing degree. So if you're getting an MBA, you know, you're doing a joint degree, maybe you complete two-year master's degrees in a total time span of 3 years. But my understanding is Lauder doesn't, it adds some time, but it's not actually an extra year of study, correct? How does it work? Like in terms of, you know, if I'm an MBA student, I'm showing up in the summer for preterm, and then I'm spending like 2 academic years on campus. So tell me a little bit about the structure of the program and yeah, just like when do people arrive? Are they completely on the same track as the MBA types? And another question I had that's related is you mentioned that there are some law students who do the Lauder degree as well. And I wanted to know, are they kind of intermingled with the MBA crowd that's in the program as well? So those are the two things I'm kind of curious about. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So it's a 2-year degree program. So that's one of the advantages with doing the Lauder program. The program was designed to really integrate into the MBA curriculum. So the MBA program was our first joint degree program back in the mid-80s. So students actually add just really one semester. So we have about 70 students a year who come to the Lauder program, and that includes the MBA and the JD students who are integrated completely. So that's one cohort of 70 students. They start in May. So they come here to Philadelphia. We start May 1st. They take a month of classes here in Philly. We have an area history class that they take. They start their language program. They sort of prepare for the summer immersion, which is a key aspect of the Lauder program. So in June and July, all of our students spend 2 months around the world as part of either their global immersion, where the students in our global track travel to like maybe a dozen countries in the 8 weeks that they're in the summer immersion, studying global issues, global themes. For students in our regional program, they'll spend 8 weeks in Latin America or Europe or Africa. 5 out of those 8 weeks are an intensive language immersion. So for students who come in at an advanced low level, usually after that 5 weeks of intensive language immersion, they're able to kind of bump up to the next language level. The remaining 3 weeks of our regional immersions are comprised of company visits, cultural excursions, which students also do in the language immersion part, but essentially 8 weeks. So June and July, travel around the world together in a group and then in sort of smaller cohorts, depending on your program of concentration. You come back to Philadelphia in August, and then you start the Wharton preterm. So then you go along over the next 2 years, fully integrated into both programs. So you take your regular Wharton course load, you take your core classes in your major, and then through Lauder, you would be taking essentially 2 additional classes a week. So if you're in one of our regional programs, you're taking a language that meets twice a week, as well as maybe one of our Lauder's core courses that all students take. Yeah, so fully integrated for 2 years, and you graduate on time with the rest of your MBA class.
So full disclosure, I don't know if you're actually aware, but I did an MBA from Wharton some time ago. I'm not going to admit the year on our podcast, but in all seriousness, I had a number of Lauder folks in my MBA cohort. And I do remember that, you know, my day would kind of come to an end with classes, and they would be running off to do one more class on a given day. And so is that kind of how it works? It's sort of like they have an extra class most days. And then I did notice when I arrived to join preterm that there was this group of kind of Lauder folk who had, you know, they were already kind of forged some pretty intense bonds because they had this chance to show up before us. So that was kind of interesting too. So it seems very close-knit. I guess I wanted to understand, like, who's the right candidate for this program? Because, you know, I think there are a lot of people with an interest in international business. And we see it all the time on the Clear Admit website. People will indicate, like, I want to do tech and I want to do it in this market, you know, or I want to do, you know, whatever they want to pursue. They often have like a geographic focus with respect to their goals. And so how do you determine whether, yeah, like what's the kind of ideal candidate for this sort of program? And how do those candidates go about picking, you know, their focus? Is it just purely based on, it sounds like some language, I mean, language capacity is important. And then I guess their goals, right? So, but yeah, just walk me through who are you looking for in terms of what kind of experience? Yeah.
Right. Yeah, definitely. So the first profile is certainly somebody who is attracted to Wharton kind of first and foremost, and is a good fit for the Wharton program. So a lot of applicants will say, like, what's your typical student profile? And it really is somebody who would be appropriate for the Wharton school in terms of background profile, you know, area of interest, experience, career objectives. So you kind of add the Wharton, you have the Wharton profile as kind of a starting point. And then for Lauder, what we like to see is some evidence of really a global mindset. So for us, that comes across in lots of ways. It can be somebody who maybe primarily has worked, say, in the US and has maybe had some brief international experience. Maybe they studied abroad in college, or they work for a global organization where they do work globally, even if they're based in their home country. Or we have applicants who have really spent a time really across the world through maybe their educational experiences, professional experiences. We have a real mix of students in terms of background profile, nationality. But really what we're looking to see is evidence of that global mindset. So when students are putting together their applications and their essays for Lauder in particular, we want to see really why the Lauder program makes sense for them. Because certainly you can have an international, sort of an international experience through Wharton, through some of their immersions and things like that. But with Lauder, you're really getting kind of something else. You're getting, as I mentioned, kind of that context to do business, the history, the culture. We like to see why is that really important to folks, you know, who are thinking about the program. In terms of fit and sort of what program of concentration might make sense for an applicant, for someone who's already had really significant international experience, meaning they've maybe worked on multiple continents, they maybe graduated from a school in one part of the world and are working in another, and they're already multilingual, I would definitely encourage anyone with that profile to think about our global program because that will really kind of elevate the skills that you've had already to the next level, focusing on global issues at sort of a macro level. For students who are interested in maybe working in a specific region and they'd like to perfect their language skills, then certainly the regional programs of concentration make sense. Having said that, students ultimately all earn the same degree. They have very much the same experience, aside from their language track and maybe where they spend some of their summer immersion. They go through the program, as I said, as a cohort. They all take the same core classes. They all do something called the GKL, which is our Global Knowledge Lab project. They have myriad study travel together. So in the end, many of our students actually, maybe they studied Latin America and Spanish for the 2 years that they were at Lauder, but they may end up working really globally. Maybe they end up in Asia or Africa, another part of the world. So it's really, it sort of depends. Some people are really targeted on a certain region, and other applicants are kind of thinking a little bit maybe more on a practical level. Like, okay, this is my experience. I have French. Do I see myself in Europe? Maybe. But ultimately, I'd like to have an international career, and Lauder's a good fit for that reason.
And actually, I don't know if you, I'm going to put you on the spot, but you said there are 10 languages that one could pick from if they're not doing the global track and they do pick a language to focus on. You said there were 10 languages. Can you run through them? Because I think that's helpful for people too.
Sure. So basically, we'll sort of start at the regional level. So for Latin America, we offer Spanish and Portuguese. For Asia, we have Japanese, Korean, and Chinese. So Korean's our newest track. For Europe, we offer French, German, and Russian, and we're actually very interested in starting a Spanish program in Europe. So if anybody's sort of thinking about Spanish in Europe, definitely encourage you to think about applying for that. We'd love to offer that in the future. For Africa, right now we have a Francophone and Anglophone program. So our Francophone program, students are studying French. For our Anglophone program, it's for students who are already fluent in any language spoken on the continent. So whether it's a European language or a native language, we have the Anglophone track in Europe. And then our final program, South Asia, Middle East, and North Africa, we offer Hindi and Arabic.
Sounds like there's plenty on offer.
Yes, lots of options.
So now, you know, folks listening to this podcast are often very interested in kind of admission strategy and how can I, you know, put my best foot forward and get into a school. And I think everyone is aware of the fact that, you know, Wharton, along with a couple other schools in the world, is sort of part of this elite MBA, you know, group in terms of just being very highly ranked and, you know, often quite difficult to get into. And so I know, you know, we often see there are kind of these rumors out there like, oh, Lauder is really interesting, but gosh, it's one thing to get into Wharton, but imagine you also have to clear the second hurdle to get into Lauder. And I know, because I, you know, just from having been a student at Wharton, that it doesn't really work that way, and that there's sort of parallel processes, and you guys, you know, just looking for maybe a slightly different type of candidate too. But I guess I wanted to just ask you point blank, like, is it harder to get into Wharton if you apply to Lauder, or what is the real, how does it work behind the scenes?
Sure. Yeah. So definitely not. So the great thing about Lauder is that it's a joint application for Wharton and Lauder at the same time. So applicants apply jointly, and applicants are only evaluated against other or as a pool for Wharton and Lauder. So we don't evaluate applicants for Lauder against the entire Wharton pool. So if you're just thinking about it strategically, you know, Wharton gets 5,000-6,000 applications a year. For folks who are applying to Wharton and Lauder at the same time jointly, our applications are in the hundreds. So it's a really self-selected pool of applicants. Students who apply to Lauder know they have the language criteria. That's part of the application process, submitting a language score. They know they've done their research on the program. They know what the program offers, if it's a good fit for them. So it's sort of competitive among the pool specifically for Wharton and Lauder, but definitely not as competitive, frankly, as for applicants who are applying to Wharton only, just because of the sheer numbers. So Lauder, we have the benefit of having a smaller cohort and therefore a smaller number of applications to look at.
Right. Okay. So yeah, I'll let our listeners do some of the math there in terms of, you know, application volume and spots available. But yeah, it's always seemed to me like a nice kind of self-identified group that's applying. And, you know, our understanding, you know, I was kind of putting the question to you, but our understanding over the years is that it's not a disadvantage in any way. It doesn't make it harder to get into Wharton. If anything, it's kind of a feather in your cap because it allows you to differentiate a bit. So again, don't want to put you on the spot too much, but I would liken it somewhat to Wharton's healthcare management program, which is another non-degree granting, but still a way for candidates to kind of self-identify into a subgroup within the MBA program. And, you know, again, I always viewed that as kind of, wow, this is a nice way to label yourself as being pretty passionate about something. So one of the other questions I had is, you know, I think you alluded to this a few moments ago, but if we think about the Lauder admissions process operationally, like, how do you guys work in concert with the Wharton admissions team? Because obviously you're both probably reading files at the same time or passing them back and forth. So how does that work?
Yeah. So myself and my colleague, we have two folks here working in Lauder admissions. We also have student readers who are trained to evaluate applications. And again, applicants who apply to Wharton and Lauder are only evaluated as a pool. So we'll evaluate those applicants from start to finish. So that means we look at your Wharton application. We look at your essays, your GMAT or GRE scores, the entire components of your MBA application. And then we also evaluate your Lauder application, so your essay, your international experience that we ask you to list out. So we evaluate that all as one cohesive application. And then we make a joint decision, a joint recommendation with the Wharton Admissions Committee. So myself and my colleague, we are really part of the Wharton Admissions Committee. We meet with them weekly on regular issues anyway. And then when it comes to actually the decision time for the application rounds, we make a joint decision. So it's a joint offer of admission. So you are, you know, essentially offered joint admission to both Wharton and Lauder. Some people ask, and we get this question a lot, is it possible that I could be admitted to Wharton only? And that does happen occasionally for applicants who maybe don't meet our international profile that we're looking for, or our language background, but they're still a great applicant for Wharton. So we do have some people that will be admitted to Wharton only, but the vast majority of students will be admitted either jointly to Wharton and Lauder at the same time. So it's a really integrated admissions process. I travel for Wharton. I'm going off to Singapore next week to interview for them. So we work really, really closely with the Wharton Admissions Committee, really in all parts of the admissions and recruiting process.
So are there ever disagreements, you know, where you and your kind of lauder colleague look at a file and say, wow, this person's really, you know, a perfect fit for what we do in terms of language and, you know, just global aspirations and experience. And then the committee's sort of like, well, I'm, you know, just purely looking at it from the Wharton side, they're not as, you know, there's not jumping off the page at us or something. Are there ever these kind of moments where you don't agree or?
To be honest, not often, because we know, you know, really as we were trained to evaluate the Wharton part of the application. So we go around and recruit and interview specifically for Wharton only as part of the admissions committee. So we're really trained to see what Wharton is looking for in terms of a candidate. So it's very rare, although certainly occasionally it could happen, but they really understand the intricacies of the lauder program as well. So we have a really great relationship in that regard.
Okay, great. That's good. That makes it easier, obviously.
Yeah.
especially if you're on the road with them doing, you know, team-based discussion interviews and things like that.
Right, so, exactly.
So one of the things that I felt when I was a student at Wharton, I noticed, as I said earlier, that there was a certain bond, you know, between the students who were part of lauder, and obviously they were fully integrated into the MBA program, but they just, you know, it's like they had this extra, you know, like sort of membership in a little club, you know, that they had, you know, forged a pretty strong bond with. And so I wanted to ask you, you know, like, what does that mean in terms of once they've graduated? Does that kind of stay, like, I don't even know the answer to this. Are there lauder specific like reunions or groups around the world? Are they, and I also wanted you to speak a little bit to what you think distinguishes a Wharton lauder grad from just a general Wharton grad when it comes to like career outcomes. Like, are there trends that you see with respect to that?
Right. So definitely the affinity for the lauder program, I would say, is incredibly strong. I think it is because they do start the lauder program first. So even before Wharton starts, they have already sort of have a little network of friends. They've already spent 8 weeks traveling in smaller groups around the world. So I think that really fosters close friendships. And if we ask current students and alums, you know, what their favorite part of the program is, they always say the community. So I think that affinity and that sense of community is really incredibly strong for the lauder program. Also, you just have a whole group of students who are very like-minded. You have global aspirations. So it's a really, really kind of a nice group to be a part of. In terms of the network after graduation, definitely. We have about 2,000 alums who have graduated from the program over the last 30 or so years. Every 3 years, we have a global alumni reunion. So our last one was in 2016, and we had almost 1,000 alums come. So that's a pretty good rate of attendance in New York City. So that was great. We're planning for our next one in the fall of 2019. And we have something called the Lauder Institute Alumni Association. So there are events all over the world. London, Sao Paulo, New York, they tend to be quite active. So lots of sort of, you have the amazing network at Wharton with almost 100,000 alums. And then with lauder, you have kind of a smaller cohort that's very globally placed. So a really great group to be a part of, both as a student and then as an alum. In terms of outcomes, we see about 1 out of every 3 students will work outside of their home country after they graduate from lauder. And then we definitely see a lot of movement over time. You know, so folks who graduated 10, 20 years ago, we often see that they've worked in multiple countries. But I tell folks, you know, sometimes people are thinking, well, I might want to stay in the States or go back to Brazil or go back to the UK. But maybe they're interested in having working in a global role. So lauder could certainly be a fit for candidates who are thinking about maybe staying where they're based geographically long term, but working for a global organization, doing global business. So it can be that maybe you're looking to work abroad or maybe, you know, back in your home country with an international focus. So we see really both profiles in the program and then upon after graduation.
Yeah, and I would imagine that there probably is quite a bit of movement. I don't know how the 1/3 working out of home country compares to, say, like the general Wharton pool. Do you have a sense of that?
Right. Yeah, I mean, my sense is certainly there are some, say, Wharton-only grads who look to stay in the U.S. for a little bit of time, get some U.S. experience, and then maybe return home. So that's a good number of folks. But I would say the vast majority of students who are Wharton-only tend to go back to their home country. So I do believe, you know, with lauder, and certainly it's a much smaller population, but that overall we do see percentage-wise more graduates working outside of their home country after graduation.
Got it. Okay. So I know, you know, and again, full disclosure, I'm actually originally from the Philadelphia area. And so I might be a little bit of a pro Philly person, but one of the things I hear from applicants, because I've, you know, traveled quite a bit and talked to MBA applicants and alums all around the world. And I think, you know, Philadelphia still, it doesn't have quite the like ring to it that say London or New York City might have,
right,
or Hong Kong or something. It's not viewed as like a truly sort of international city. I think it's a little bit unfair because it is a big city. It is kind of America's first city. And it is a city that is, you know, really strategically well positioned between New York and DC, great access to Europe and Latin America. So I think it's better than the reputation, but I do wonder, like, how do you feel that Philadelphia does as the host city for a program that's very much, you know, focused on international management?
Right. Definitely. Well, I have to confess I'm biased as well because I'm also from the Philadelphia area, but I have lived in New York City and London and Singapore, and I still say Philadelphia is one of my favorite places to live. Just in terms of the practical things as a student, as you said, it is quite close to New York City, to Washington, D.C. We have an international airport, so it's really accessible to all major points. It's a great place to be a student. It's very affordable compared to other cities on the East Coast in particular. So it's a great place to be a student. Lots of great culture scene, great food scene. For our students who are at Wharton and Lauder, they live very close to campus, maybe a 15, 20 minute walk. So even though Philadelphia is sort of a smaller city compared to New York City or London, we definitely have a really strong international mix, lots of ethnic communities, students and professionals working here from around the world, a big education sector, a big healthcare sector. So it's a great place to be a student. I think actually, frankly, being a student in a somewhat smaller city is actually a nice thing because the city itself doesn't dominate the experience. So I know I went to graduate school in London. It was an amazing experience, but you really feel like you're kind of lost in the sea of a, you know, a big urban city. And Philadelphia has a much smaller feel, much more of a community feel. And I think it's just really accessible, especially for international students who maybe this is their first time really living in the U.S. So I think it's a great introduction to life here in the U.S. So I think Philly's a great city. And our students, being that they are from all over the world, and not just at Lauder, but certainly at Wharton as well, we have faculty from all over the world. So we're really an international hub here in Philadelphia. So I think our students, even no matter where they're from, I think they would feel at home because the campus itself is so international.
Yeah, and I would say, you know, even looking further afield across, you know, all of Penn or even, you know, some of the other schools in the Philadelphia area that, yeah, there's certainly a large community of international students because Philly is a big place for education, whether it's, you know, Penn or Drexel or Temple or, you know, Swarthmore. I mean, there are a lot of schools in the area that draw people from around the world.
Right, exactly.
I mean, I like to tell people that I dare say it on the podcast because I don't want everyone to move to Philadelphia, but it is, I mean, it's literally like half the price of New York. And I think that's important when you're a student. It really is affordable and it's friendly. And I do think that one of the things that I've always told folks over the years when they're looking at different schools and looking for the right experience is that when you go to a place, to a school in a major city, whether it's New York or London or something like that, chances are most of your classmates know someone in that city before they've arrived at the school. And so they kind of, they're torn between, do I just go out with my old friends from high school or college who I happen to know are in this city, or do I bite the bullet and forge new bonds, which isn't so easy. You know, it's always takes a little bit of time to kind of build up the courage and make new friendships. And I've always felt like one of the benefits of Wharton and Lauder is that you're thrown into a city that is, an international city. There's a lot happening, but you're discovering that city with a group of folks who probably aren't from Philly. I mean, I don't know if you know off the top of your head, but of those 70 individuals that come into Lauder each year, my guess is that, you know, there are only like a couple that might even be from Philadelphia. Most of them are probably not at all, right?
So, right, definitely. Yeah, a handful maybe grew up in the region.
And same is true within the larger Wharton class. It's not dominated by locals. And so I think that helps to forge a nice experience. So thanks for addressing that. Again, you know, we don't want everyone moving to Philadelphia, but I do think it's a great place to live.
It is.
You know, I don't know if your boss is going to listen to this podcast or not, but I wanted to find out, like, what do you love about this job, and then maybe what's something that you maybe don't like as much when it comes to working in this role.
Right. Yeah. No, I mean, it's a good question. You don't often get to answer these questions. So, I mean, the best part for me about Lauder, certainly, as I mentioned earlier on, is that having grown up in the Philadelphia area, I worked outside, I lived and worked outside of this region for about 15 years or so. So I was able to return home, be closer to my family, but still really work for a global, frankly, a globally recognized school. And the Lauder program itself, the fact that it's so international, really offers me the opportunity to travel around the world, meet students and alums from all over. I've spent the last 4 years, I've gone to Africa every year, which was a new experience for me. So the travel and the kinds of students that we're recruiting for me is really just a sweet spot. I have a passion for international studies. I studied abroad myself as a graduate student. So I really feel a kinship with our students and with our alums. So for me, great to kind of combine growing up in this area, having a business school background, and then working for an international program. So it's really ideal. On the flip side, the travel is amazing, but I'm sure other fellow road warriors can relate to, you know, delays and flights and long haul flights. I did take the direct flight from Newark to Singapore a few months ago, which was 18 hours. And so that was the longest time I've ever been on a plane without a stop. So the travel is amazing, but I'm sure anyone can relate to kind of the travel woes that we've all encountered. But it's a blessing overall to have that experience.
Makes sense. Yeah. And are there any, I mean, I guess, do you feel like when you travel to these far-flung, you know, kind of international markets, do candidates have lots of questions about, you know, like, have they been to campus? Like, it would seem to me that a lot of them maybe haven't, and they may have questions. And
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, most of our applicants, certainly of those who maybe are in parts of the world that are quite far, haven't had the chance to come to Philadelphia. But the great thing is that between the Wharton and Lauder Network, I mean, we go to, we host information sessions all over the world. There's alumni events all over the world. The alums are often happy to, and current students are happy to connect with applicants. So there's a way to really learn about the city and learn about Philadelphia through our events, through connections with students and alums, even though they can't physically come here. There's really no advantage to coming to Philadelphia. If you have the opportunity, I encourage applicants to think about it just so they can sit in a class and get the experience of being here on campus. But we know that applicants in across the world can all come here to visit. So that's why we kind of go to them. So yeah, we try to bring Philadelphia to them to the extent that we can, and we're happy to do it. It's a great opportunity to spread the reach of the program.
Got it. So I had one more question that I wanted to ask you, and that relates to kind of the admissions process. And I know that you kind of walked us through, you know, the overall process in terms of, you know, the fact that you guys are evaluating the whole candidate for both Wharton and Lauder and working in concert with, you know, your colleagues on just the pure Wharton side. But I wondered, you know, I know that for the admissions interview process that, you know, Wharton has a team-based discussion. We actually did a podcast about that the other day, where we talked about what that is and things, but, and I know there's a brief kind of one-on-one, but is there a component, does Lauder have its own interview or a separate kind of process for that at all? Or maybe speak to that.
Yeah, so that's a great question. Thanks for asking that. So we do have an additional interview for Lauder. Most of our students, so we sort of takes place in two ways. For our applicants who come to Philadelphia to participate in the team-based discussion, for applicants who've also applied to Lauder, they'll be interviewed by, generally speaking, a current student who's been trained to interview applicants or an admissions officer. So one of the two, if they come here to Philadelphia. If they're based globally, thankfully we have alums all over the world. So we primarily have an alum of the Lauder program do the interview. So it's a half an hour interview, very straightforward, asking your interest in the Lauder program, your background, what you'd like to do after graduation. So really straightforward questions. So that's an additional requirement along with the team-based discussion.
And is that when they come to campus, if they do that interview with the second-year students who are, you know, kind of helping the admissions team, will they necessarily get a Lauder person, or it could be any kind of Wharton second year?
So, yeah, so they'll do, as part of the team-based discussion, they'll be mixed up with Wharton-only applicants, with applicants to Wharton's healthcare program, so it'll be a mix. After the team-based discussion is totally completed, They'll also have, separate from that, a 30-minute interview with a Lauder student over in the Lauder Institute building. So they're separate, but we try to schedule them on the same day and things like that, so it can be, you know, convenient for our applicants, but they're separate, and they will definitely have an interview with a Lauder-oriented person, whether a student or an admissions officer.
Okay, got it. And then on the road, it would be either an admissions officer if one of you all happen to be at that hub, or it would be an alum in their region or something.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And as you said, the interview sounds very straightforward. Is it what we would call a blind interview, where the person interviewing them has not read their file in its entirety? They maybe just have a resume or something?
Exactly. So all they would have is a resume. They do have a series of questions that we ask them to ask our applicants. Again, super straightforward, about their asking about their background. We'd like to learn about their international experience, how they learned their language. So nothing out of the ordinary. I always tell people, whether it's for the team-based discussion or the Lauder interview, you know, treat it like you would a job interview. Just approach it professionally, be on time, all that kind of stuff. So, but nothing out of left field.
So those were the questions that I had. I guess I did want to just give you the floor here in case there's any kind of last bit of advice you would have for someone who, you know, has just listened to this podcast and is kind of thinking, wow, this sounds great. I'd love to do, I want to have an international kind of business career, and I'm, you know, have some language skills and I'm excited about this. What would be, is there a piece of advice that you might have for that person in terms of like how they should go through this process, or something, you know, that they must do that would be really helpful for them as they kind of,
sure.
Yeah, let me know here.
Yeah, definitely. So the benefit for the Lauder program, we have a small community, we have a small admission staff, is that we really are willing and able and keen to help our applicants kind of navigate the admissions process. So I would say definitely reach out to our admissions team. You can find us online on the Lauder website. You can just Google the Lauder Institute. You can get to myself or my colleague. We're really happy to set up a phone call with you, hear about your background, talk about if Lauder is a fit for you, how to approach the application. So again, because we're a smaller program, we kind of have the ability to help applicants through the process. And because Lauder is a specialized program, we want to offer that sort of specialized advice. So definitely don't hesitate to reach out to us. Certainly we have events on campus around the world. You can go to our website, sign up for an event, come to visit us, or we'll come to you over the year as we travel with Wharton. Something else I want to mention is certainly folks who are thinking about a joint degree may be concerned about the financial implications. So with Lauder, we are very generously endowed by the Lauder family. So we do have generous fellowships available specifically for the Lauder program. So most of our students will receive a scholarship of about $17,000 to $20,000 for the Lauder program. And we also have additional funding actually in the form of fellowships from Lauder towards the cost of the Wharton tuition. And that's something we started to do over the last year, again, based on the generosity of the Lauder family. So if you're thinking about a joint degree and you're kind of nervous about the additional cost, I would say don't be, because for Lauder, we really have a lot of support. And so much of the program, our immersions, our global knowledge lab travel, so much of that is underwritten by the Institute. So really, the students' tuition, what they're paying, is nowhere near the actual cost of the program. So if you think Lauder's a fit, you know, definitely encourage you to move forward. Reach out to us. Follow us online. We are on all our social media channels, on Facebook, LinkedIn, etc. So reach out to us so we can sort of help you think about Lauder in a more constructive way.
Yeah, that sounds like great advice. And I will say, I know Kara is serious when it comes to, you know, reaching out to the Lauder team. They are a small team, but it's a smaller applicant pool, and they have the bandwidth, just as Wharton's healthcare management program has the bandwidth. So this isn't one of those cases where she's telling, you know, where Kara, you're telling everyone
right.
to reach out. I mean, if you really are interested in Lauder, you know, get in touch. I think they'll be happy to speak with you about it. And that's always been the case. Again, it's one of these very small programs within a larger institution, and it's kind of afforded that ability to kind of really, as Kara says, kind of walk you through the process. So,
right.
So get in touch with Kara or any of her colleagues at the Lauder Institute if you're interested. And yeah, Kara, I just wanted to thank you so much for taking the time to talk about all things Lauder and a little bit of Philadelphia. I'm always happy to do that.
Thank you so much.
Yeah, so thanks for taking part, and keep in touch. And for those of you tuning in, obviously continue to subscribe to this podcast via iTunes and rate us, leave reviews. We're always open to your feedback. And if you like outside guests like Kara, just let us know, and we'll keep more folks coming on the podcast. So thanks again, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you next time.